All right, issue number three. COVID vaccines now estimated at over 17 million deaths worldwide and climbing. These numbers published most recently in an interview with Professor Denny Rancor, who we've referenced here in this show before, but would encourage you to go to DennyRancor.com and read through his team's fantastic work that they've done over the last couple of years on deaths and what really happened, what the data are really telling us as far as the intentional murder and debilitation of millions, not just in the United States, not just in Alabama, but worldwide. Okay, finally, on October 9th, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because of the news cycle, but, in that same spirit of COVID vaccine deaths and Dr. Rancor's work, we also want to highlight the World Council for Health's, consensus report that came out of their 9 October meeting and the presentation by Kevin McKernan, who is a expert in DNA analysis, and through his findings, he gives a fantastic presentation if you go to World Council for Health. But take a look at that, and what we've heard over the last several years is that correlation does not equal causation. The vaccines really didn't cause all these people to die, or they're not accountable for all of these excess deaths that are killing people left and right, or the turbo cancers that are beginning to just lay people out. And what Kevin McKernan's work and his presentation does is that it shows that, yes, indeed, all of the vaccines had high levels of contamination, and especially the Pfizer vaccine vials had SV40, simian virus 40 in it, which are cancer promoters, and that they actually show the mechanism of how the lipid nanoparticles and the spike proteins get access to our blood cells and then basically corrupt human DNA so that your body continues producing spike protein, which then continues to attack organs or cause blood clots or any number of really bad maladies, including cancer, which when it transcribes that DNA coming in through the lipid nanoparticle, it basically corrupts your reproductive DNA and then causes cancerous tumors to begin to form, and then as crazy as it sounds, these cancers that are coming up now are not being responsive to historic cancer treatments, radiation treatment and chemotherapy. They just don't work against some of these new cancers, and so these lymphomas and leukemias and glioblastomas and breast cancers that we see just exploding nationwide, worldwide, literally are killing people within weeks, days, and in some cases even hours with some of these really aggressive leukemias. And so we want to make sure that folks are aware of this. Okay, so as we transition into passing the baton from Dr. Liu, and again acknowledging his fantastic contributions over the year. Go ahead, Lori.
Could we reintroduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll also introduce Judd Blakely, who is our videographer and assistant.
Absolutely. So my background, folks, is my mother's family grew up here in Southwest Alabama, dating back to the late 1700s, and we returned here. I returned here with my sons after kind of rediscovering Fairhope and the Eastern Shore when I was in commissioning school over at Naval Air Station Pensacola many years ago, and decided that whenever the time was up that I would might want to come back to Mayberry, to the beautiful Eastern Shore and raise my family here. And so I had enlisted in the submarine force when I was 17, right out of high school, before I even graduated from high school. Actually, I'd signed the papers.
Wow.
And yeah, I know, as soon as I could. Really, absolutely loved the Navy, fell in love with it, and joined Ronald Reagan's Navy back in the 80s, and it was just a great place to be for a young man trying to find his way and earn the GI Bill and go to school and hopefully do better for my family and myself. And so it was a great opportunity then. That has certainly changed in recent years, and But, you know, I went on to, you know, spent 14 years as enlisted and then commissioned as an officer and spent the last 20 years as an officer. And so worked naval intelligence as a, you know, mostly in China, in the Far East, but then also had spent an awful lot of time, about 12 years total, over in Europe back during the Cold War. And as that wound down, and then, of course, everybody got their pass to the sandbox and to go over to fight the desert wars. But, you know, just a lot of experience worldwide. And then, you know, when I finished up with the Navy about 10 years ago, I had done undergraduate and graduate work in natural resources and, you know, went to the oil and gas industry and currently, you know, work there as a consultant. And so, you know, busy and, you know, have three sons here locally in school and just, you know, love spending time with them and so happy to be here with y'all on the show. Judd?
Judd Blakely, tell us a little
bit
about
yourself.
Let's go,
Judd.
Well, I'm about to be 81. And
doesn't look a day over
79 and a half. and not to be too dramatic, but I never thought I'd survive my Vietnam tour as a Marine platoon leader. And adjusted the way most guys did was by switching off any serious concern about the future. Mm. So after two Purple Hearts, when I came home, I really didn't. I mean, I kind of came back. Again, this is a very common story. I kind of came back and ended up at Headquarters Marine Corps as a speechwriter for the commandant, which I didn't want to do. And this was going to get out after another year because I didn't want to go back and be a company commander in Vietnam and operate the way we had been, basically walking down a trail waiting to get ambushed, mm-hmm. then calling in an airstrike.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty stupid and very costly.
Mm.
But I ended up extending for 2 years, for a total of 5 years on active duty, to go back to Portland, Oregon, where I was raised, and which I'm ashamed of now. Because I think Oregon is the most despicable state in the Union, right there with the state of Washington. Worse mm-hmm. than California, because it chose to be as bad as it is.
And such a shame, too, because it's such a beautiful area.
Yeah.
Well, stunningly beautiful.
It's just, other than having lots of close friends there, mm-hmm. I despise the state. And it's been run basically by communists and lapdogs for the past 50 years or so. But so I go out for my final 2 years. I was the head of Marine officer recruiting for the state of Oregon between 1968 and 1970. There were many, many protests, some quite vicious and well organized, on the campuses in Oregon. In Oregon. And so I was immersed in that, had some intriguing experiences where I realized that kids in school were being led astray, very seriously astray, but they were essentially at age 19, 20, 21, were looking for leadership.
Mm.
That's what they were looking for. And there was none to speak of to counter the new left that had taken over. The new left has morphed through different stages into the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is not a party. It is a movement, and the purpose of this movement is to help facilitate the destruction of America in behalf of what we now call the New World Order. The New World Order cooperates very closely, and this, the New World Order is feudalism 2.0,
mm-hmm.
and the New World Order, feudalism 2.0, connects very closely with Islam and with communism. Because they all want the same thing. They want to destroy America. And here's the interesting thing. Each of them wants to take over the world and rule it alone.
Yep.
So the conflict, the murderous conflict between communism, the New World Order, and Islam, check your breaking news, friends, because that's coming up as soon as we're completely impaled and done as a nation, which we're very close to being right now. Anyway, I had my own management consulting company and worked with CEOs around America. My first client was Shell Oil in Houston. That's where I met my wife to be. We got married in 1988. I live here because she grew up here. Mm. We've lived in Chicago. We've lived in Boise for 8 years, and I think this is the best place in the world to live. And my goal is to destroy the left before the left destroys us. And I mean destroy it. I don't mean kind of destroy it. I mean wipe it out.
Well, it's one of the things we're going to explore here in detail in you know, future shows and a period where we actually talk about that. We talk about the shift from, you know, Bolshevik communism, you know, as we saw with Stalin and Mao, into what we're now seeing in Agenda 21 and the UN's plan been, you know, in strong effect, unrolling nicely for them in the last two decades. But it goes even further back than that. It goes all the way back to the 1960s. And you know, the failure of the reactive right, okay, the establishment right, to recognize Fabian communism and to understand what that means in its subversiveness and its covertness and its, you know, its ability to come into the American public and our institutions and corrupt us thoroughly from the inside out, and it's absolutely wrecking this country. And so we will visit that topic frequently, and you know, we'll weave that into, you know, our different guests that we have on the show, as well as just put meat on that, on the bones, so people understand the fight that's in front of us. You know, the left, you know, to your excellent point, Judd, you know, the left has made the decision, folks, think about this, you know, the left has made the decision that they despise us so much, conservatives, constitutionalists, traditionalists, that they would rather murder us and live without us than to listen to one single thing that we have to say. Think about it. Think about the censorship, the level of unbelievable censorship that we're seeing and continue to see. You know, the recent attacks on Russell Brand, the attacks on Joe Rogan, and these aren't even traditional conservative talk shows. These guys aren't Rush Limbaugh, okay? It's you know, it's not Glenn Beck. You know, these are guys that were, you know, looking at things objectively from a centrist position, just asking truthing questions, you know, probing for the truth, you know, trying to divine what's really going on, and just look at what has happened to them with the level of censorship and cancellation that we've seen, and in some cases where they try and push people into criminal charges, you know, where they actually try and bring criminal cases against people and lock them up just for speaking their opinion and speaking the truth.
If anybody is curious about your fate, and I don't care how much of a suck-up Democrat you are, voting for Biden and kissing up to all these outrageous plans, I don't care about that. You want to see what your fate is? Your value is only as a disruptor. You have no value except as a foot soldier to help destroy your country. When that role is over, go check out what's happened to the January 6th people in prison.
Yeah, criminal. Absolutely criminal.
It's a concentration camp experience. It's a war crime against people who committed no crime. They committed no crime. You want to know what your fate is? Go check it out.
Right. I see I'll have to keep my finger on the button with Judd, just like I did with Dr. Lou.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, there's a lot there, folks, and you know, I think that it's one of the other things that we have to do too, is to, you know, keep it firmly in view of you know, our listeners, that, you know, that, you know, those January 6th political prisoners are still languishing, you know, in prison, in DC or in DC controlled confinement facilities,
and they're being grievously maltreated.
Yes, they are, absolutely, and denied their constitutional appointed attorneys and their constitutional rights. And so, you know, we cannot forget these people, and it's criminal what's going on, and the way that the judgeships have been captured again through Fabian communism, right? And so, we will continue to visit that. So, bringing it back local, okay. Thank you for that introduction, Judd, you know, bringing it back local, folks, you know, we'll talk about other things too, you know, things that are certainly closer in the scan for us locally here on the Eastern Shore and in Southwest Alabama and beyond. and talking about, for instance, you know, the bridge to nowhere, the bridge to ruin, you know, where, you know, if you look at Agenda 21 and the hijacking of the environmental movement and some other things that are going on locally, which we'll also examine through environmental NGOs, and then, you know, you look at what the Agenda 21 goals are, and they're coming quick, right? Like, they're not talking about doing this in 20 or 30 years. They're talking about 5 to 6 years from now. And yet we are frittering away precious time and resources within the conservative movement by trying to argue, for instance, to build a $3 billion bridge across Mobile Bay, $3 billion bridge across Mobile Bay. And you have to ask yourself, if you really look at what the left is doing and the communists are doing to try and atomize society and to, you know, basically force people into, you know, highly concentrated, developed urban areas, and then basically leaving rural areas or smaller towns, outlying cities like Mobile or, you know, the Eastern Shore, they would just have us wither on the vine. You know, don't pave our roads, don't service us with any kind of government services, and just let rural communities die a torturous death as long as you want to live, you know, and have hardships. You know, it's we'll talk about some other things here in the next couple few weeks where it's very eye-opening when you look at what has happened in other parts of the country and the way that Agenda 21 has been implemented. And again, we'll give you some homework here at the end of this session. But, you know, right now in the time that we have left, I want to visit, you know, what we're about. And, you know, you've heard now, you know, from a couple of us, and, you know, those of you who know Lori, you know our background. But, you know, what we're going to do here is we're going to, you know, talk about foundations and first principles. We're going to speak from fact, okay? A first principle being a basic proposition or assumption that cannot be deduced from any other proposition or assumption, you know. And so first principles thinking, you know, means decomposing things down to the fundamental facts, like just get right to the root of it before asking which ones are relevant to the question at hand, and then, you know, looking for other facts, you know, building the fact pattern and just presenting, you know, the reality that is right in front of us, and, you know, just irrefutable, undisputable, and really move out from there to see how that allows us to conduct issue development for conservative and traditional and constitutionalist causes, and how do we push back on this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and make a difference in our lives right now, today, as well as our children's future. And it's so important that we, you know, really build a template for execution and for action, and that starts with issue development. And so we'll be doing plenty of that. All right. So, speaking, Laura, you got something for us?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. So, I just want to remind folks about what Socrates said. So, again, when we talk about foundations and first principles, it's very important that we also, you know, revisit where we are. So, you know, one of the things about the reactive right, you know, that really galls a lot of people is that we, you know, we as constitutionalists, traditionalists, and conservatives, you know, we'll sit around and we'll talk about, you know, what, you know, bellyache or complain about, you know, what's happening to us, but there's never any, you know, that's reactionary, folks, you know, but there's never any real concerted effort to come together as a movement and get results on individual issues. You know, occasionally you might have something like, you know, the example I give is the recent, you know, fight a couple years ago with the Baldwin County Board of Education to get masks off of our kids, you know, and then everything that flowed from that, right? And we, you know, it took us 6 months after that to effectively get, you know, Eddie Tyler and the school board in public, in a public meeting in December 2021, to acknowledge that they were not going to mandate the death shots to our kids, right? Even though they had basically done that to their employees and staff, you know, to our teachers and staff, and we're continuing to see deadly results from, you know, disablement and death, you know, from the campaign, you know, within BCBE to vaccinate children, or not children, but teachers and staff. So that's just one example. But when we come together on an issue, just like we did with the masking issue, we get good results, you know. And so I would just encourage folks to, again, organize around issues, which, you know, we're going to do our best to help frame here on this show. But in, you know, in times past, the great philosopher Socrates said of democracy, he said, democracy must fall because it will never, or it will try to tailor to everyone. The poor will want the wealth of the rich, and democracy will give it to them. Young people will want to be respected as elderly, and democracy will give it to them. Women will want to be like men, and democracy will give it to them. Foreigners will want the rights of the natives, and democracy will give it to them.
Who said this?
Socrates.
Whoa.
Yep. 500 BC, you know, 2,500 years ago. He also said, thieves and fraudsters will want important government functions, and democracy will give it to them. And at that time, when thieves and fraudsters finally democratically take authority because criminals and evildoers want power, there will be worse dictatorship than in the time of any monarchy or oligarchy. Socrates, 470 to 399 BC. And never truer than today, right, Lori?
It's amazing.
It is. Prescient, as they say. All right, so one of the concepts that we're also going to talk about, folks, is that, you know, going back to really setting ourselves up as I would almost say counter-revolutionary, right? You know, kind of counter-insurgent, you know, is, you know, as Judd and I just kind of sit here and chuckle, you know, is that having been in that fight with special forces and in Vietnam, again, not speaking for your experience, Judd, but I'm sure it was similar, you know, you have to recognize the enemy. And so one of the things that we will do is, of course, provide full support to anybody, any of our fellow travelers in the conservative movement, you know, who are, you know, out there doing good work and battling on the issues, you know, trying to build consensus. And I don't even like using that word, but trying to build the groundswell of support needed to affect the change that must happen if we are to survive. And I want to make that clear too. This is an issue of survival for, you know, for anyone, you know, God-fearing, you know, traditionalist and conservative. You must understand that there is a mark that's been placed on every single one of us, and that our adversaries want us dead. Okay, we don't need any other more ready example than what was done during COVID, and the way that the establishment, you know, especially the left, but then also some people on the right, you know, the Uniparty, as we call them, you know, formulated the CARES Act of 2020. That thing had been drafted years before. It was passed in a whirlwind, you know, to the draining of the U.S. Treasury and the enrichment of others. And, you know, recognizing that one of the big things that we're pushing back against, besides this Fabian communism, is also the corporatocracy, the technocracy, you know, and not just big tech, but then other, you know, NGOs such as the Ford Foundation and these, you know, these groups that really have the beholden, you know, they've made the GOP and the DNC, you know, completely beholden to them and the money and the power that they have. So this is, you know, these are companies like, you know, Facebook, on the, you know, in any of the mainstream media, NBC, ABC, CNN, but then also the BlackRock and the Vanguard, you know, they have completely infiltrated our major investment houses, and these places are now run by Fabian communists, and, you know, many of them who did time in the revolving door of D.C. and New York, Wall Street, to run the companies like, you know, BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street Capital is another one. And they're the ones providing the funding, you know, to these different efforts, the border problem, and, you know, really empowering the continued insurgency of these Fabian communists to infiltrate and destroy us from within. And we're also going to visit that.
Does the Israel terrorist attacks, is that related somehow in the big scheme in the new world order and the machine?
It is. So
nothing happens by accident,
right?
There are no coincidences. Nothing happens by accident. It costs too much money and takes too much planning. And Deke can comment in detail about how much planning that incursion took.
It was years. It was
years.
Yeah, years of planning. Years, including lessons learned as far back as the 2006 Hezbollah Israel war. Okay, going back 15 years, you know. But when we talk about, you know, you can sit there and look at the videos, and they are horrific, folks. And we, you know, we'll allude to that, not for sensationalism, but because we need to emphasize or highlight just how breathtaking and how sweeping some of the advancements in capability among basically a bunch of goat herders in Gaza, okay, a bunch of urban slum dwellers in Gaza were able to pull this off at such a breathtaking level that they could commit an incursion, an armed incursion, with the methods that they used, the weapons that they used, the funding that it took to make that happen, and then also, you know, we'll talk about, you know, where that training came from, you know, and the fact that there's no way that they did this themselves, that it was using the hundreds of millions and billions continually, you know, fleeced from, you know, the United States and from the EU and from the UN, and then also, you know, very gratuitous grants from Iran and the Ayatollahs to, you know, to arm them, especially to arm them. And so, you know, we'll talk about that from time to time. But back to Lori's question, I want to make sure I answer it. You know, it really all boils back to the Rothschild family and the Rockefellers and the backers of the UN and the Bilderberg Group. You know, it's a very small number, about 300 worldwide, of very wealthy people, very rich people, the richest of the rich, the Rothsburgs, Rothschilds, and the others, chief among them, who are evil to their core, and they have made a decision going back over 50 years ago that there were too many people in the world then, and that when it got to a certain level, 8 billion people, that they would implement their draconian plan. You know, their Fabian insurgency was to empower the plan, which was COVID and anything that comes after, for depopulation and for also wars without end. Okay, so it goes back to Lori's question, which is they fund the wars without end, because this also plays into the corporatocracy and the technocracy that we're talking about, which is that these people get, you know, stupid rich off of war. War is highly profitable. And so when you look at what it takes to conduct a war, and the fact that the Israeli war machine is very high, you know, high caliber, some of the best in the world at in much of their operational capability, that, you know, every time Israel gets into a dust up over there, you know, you can hear the millions and the billions flowing, just like in Ukraine. And so I want to also take this moment to separate, because it, you know, some people say, well, Deke, you're just being too hard on Israel. I want to make it clear that we separate in this discussion the evil puppeteers that are causing us misery here in the United States and worldwide, and things like COVID and the divide and rule strategy that they have used very successfully for intensely over the last century, and very much in the last 50 years, that they are also using that against the Israeli people. The Israelis are just as much pawns in the Rothschild game as Lori and Judd and Deke and you, our listeners, are, you know, right now, today, in this moment. So I hope that answers your question, Lori, or at least mostly.
Wow.
By the way, Lori, the technocracy began in the 1930s with FDR. So we can talk about that in the next show, because it's very important.
Yep. Okay. So one of the things we're going to do here, folks, and the brief time we have here before we turn it over to close, is that we're also going to be talking about not just mobilizing for action on issues that we try and help develop here on the show with our guests and with the dialogue that we have with you, our listeners, but also, you know, how do we organize and push back on those issues? It's so important, and it's something, frankly, that we don't do well. Okay, so we're going to spend some time on that. But in the time that we have left, I want to talk about how can folks get involved. Okay, push back against ambivalence and cynicism. You know, make sure that we, you know, get up off the sofa, as tired as we might be when we come in from work. You know, the kids, you know, exhausting us, whatever it might be. You know, get up and get involved, folks. You know, it is so important. So some of our local organizing opportunities: Moms for Liberty. Working for Transparency and Accountability in Public Education and School Choice. Their next meeting is November 9th at 6 p.m. at First Baptist Church Fairhope. Health Freedom Alabama, Stephanie Durning and Company, asking the public to sign their petition at healthfreedomalabama.com. Their next event is on Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Drowsy Poet Coffee Shop in Foley, where they will host Dr. Paul Thomas, a pediatrician who lost his large medical practice. And guess where, Judd? Oregon, after his license to practice was suspended when he published his own data on the health of his patients, vaxxed versus unvaxxed, showing his unvaxxed clients were 400% healthier than vaccinated clients. Okay, Common Sense Campaign, focusing currently on election integrity. Their next meeting is November 6th at 6 p.m. at El Rancho in Daphne. Kim Earle, the candidate for Baldwin Clerk of Court, and Billy Joe Underwood, our lovely county commissioner, will be speaking. And Common Sense meets chapters on the fourth Monday and Tuesday of each month. Check with your local chapter. The Planning Committee meets first Monday of every month. All right, Think Tank Roundtable at Mama Lou's, first Saturday of each month at 8 a.m. Come out for that, folks. It's a good time with good people, and you get to hear some speakers and some perspectives that are needed. All right, the Republican Women, which, you know, we love our Republican Women, some of our best organizers in the state and in the county. Point Clear Republican Women, the South Baldwin Republican Women, the North Baldwin Republican Women, and the Eastern Shore Republican Women. All right, finally, homework for next week, folks, because we do not pretend to have all the answers. Go to YouTube and look up Rosa Coray, R-I-P, on YouTube. That's Rosa, R-O-S-A, Coray, K-O-I-R-E. And watch some of the videos there and look at her, read her book or order her book from Amazon called Behind the Green Mask, Agenda 21. It's been out now for about 12 years. She passed about 2 years ago, but my goodness, the lessons she left us. So homework for next week, folks. We'll see you then. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, our new host, Deke Cox. Retired Navy Lieutenant Commander, Intelligence Officer, and our assistant, Judd Blakely. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash, as well as an anonymous donor. If you missed part of this program or you want to tell a friend, it will be posted at WABF1480.com. The opinions of this program do not necessarily reflect those of this station or management. WABF Mobile Fairhope now resuming regular programming.